think you can be seated. We'll just do one tonight.
Go ahead and jump right in and get started on one of the most controversial subjects in the Bible. And I actually got asked this question back in Bible study, and I had promised that we would take a look at what the Bible has to say about it. And it has to do with whether or not you should be drinking. And the fact of the matter is you would think nowadays that people would say, well, it's really not that big of a deal. It's we believe in not drinking. You'd be surprised how many so-called Christians drink and don't think there's nothing wrong with it. The common thing that they'll tell you is well, Jesus drank wine. Okay, are you sure that he drank the right kind of wine? So, well, the Bible said that he said, you know, when he had supped, he said, I'll not drink this fruit of the vine. There's a difference in the fruit of the vine and fermented liquor. Now, the only thing I'll ask you to do is for you to at least hear the whole thing out. It'll probably take 5 or 6 or 7 of these things for us to go through, because we're going to go through it a little at a time, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say, and then you can make your own determination. But I want you to know this going in, I've made my determination. Well, Jesus turned the water to wine. Yes, he did. So you think he made something in the neighborhood of about 64 to 100 gallons of wine for people to get drunk on? How you reconcile that with Habakkuk 2 that says, woe unto him that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips that he may uncover his nakedness. You going to say Jesus is a sinner? Well, see, when you read wine, you think all wine's the same. You say, well, it doesn't delineate. No, he uses the same word across the board, figuring that you would use enough sense to know there's a context to things.
Amen.
And you have to look at the context of things. If you don't look at the context to determine what kind of wine they're talking about, then you make it across the board. Question, think about this. In one place over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, he says that a bishop is not to be given to wine. Not much wine, not to be given to wine. In 1 Timothy 5, he tells Timothy, have a little wine for thy stomach's sake, for thine often infirmities. Well, how, if he's going to be a preacher in a church, can he be given permission to drink wine if they're the same thing? You think he's going to have him do something that's contrary to the Bible? You think he's going to have him do something that can lead him to addiction or lead to trouble or lead to all kind of other kind of problems that go on as far as liquor and hooch and stuff is concerned? Well, it doesn't even make any sense at all unless you try to use the Bible and arrest it to your own destruction.
Amen.
So, preacher, I just don't see a problem with it. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to be upset, Ben. You're going to get mad. I'm positive I'll get cards and letters on this one. You live in a day nowadays of compromise. It's just shim, sham, let's make everybody happy, make everybody comfortable. I'm not going to make you comfortable about this at all. You say, what are you? You should be a teetotaler. Well, the Bible talks about strong drink in Deuteronomy. You know, in Deuteronomy, he says, you know, that you can purchase strong drink. Do you even know what strong drink is? Do you even know what it's used for? The passage you're referring to in the book of Deuteronomy says nothing about them partaking of it. It has to do with an individual that's very, very sick and fixing to kick off and fixing to die. And it's used for medicinal purposes. It's not to be used for drunk. And nowhere in the Bible does he tell them to get drunk on it.
Right. Amen.
Doesn't condone it at all.
Amen.
Well, but preacher, you know, I just think if you... I know, go ahead and feather the nest for your condoning what you want to condone and make yourself feel good about it. I don't know how you can figure Jesus Christ would condone something that has caused more deaths and more sickness and more divorce and more trouble than anything else put together. The same effects you get out of drinking liquor, drinking wine, drinking beer and that kind of stuff are the same stuff you get from doing dope. Nobody condones dope, but everybody condones liquor. Just because your country makes it lawful don't mean it's lawful.
Amen.
So, well, I got it hidden in my cabinet. Nobody knows about it. Okay, well, good. I don't guess God exists, does he?
Yes,
sir. Yes. No, it's in response to that. But I see this thing coming up on a regular basis. That wine over there, when the Lord talks about it in Matthew chapter number 26, he says, fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine is always a reference to new wine. That's called, in the Bible, that's what you'd call grape juice. There's a difference in grape juice and wine and strong drink. You can have wine and you can have grape juice, fruit of the vine. You can have grape juice and you say, well, I just think, you know, a little bit. Why would he tell Timothy to do that? You drink liquor. Now stop and think for a minute. You drink liquor or wine with alcoholic content in it for your stomach. It'll give you ulcers. Why would he give you something that's going to cause you ulcers? Unless he's talking about grape juice that has a soothing effect on those things. Why would he say you can't have it in one place, but it's okay for you to have it unless Timothy is going by something similar to the Nazarite vow that says I'm not going to have anything to do with grapes or raisins or anything that came off the vine and this kind of a thing. And Paul says, hey man, you got some stomach trouble, drink some grape juice. Well, the preacher over there, he tells the deacons not to be given to much wine. Yeah, because he doesn't want them to be given to gluttony. What makes you think that's liquor? Unless you're wanting to wrest the Scripture to your own destruction. Now, if that's what you want to do, it ain't going to make a bit of difference in the world what I tell you the Bible says. Because every time you read it, you're going to read just like what other people do. When they see the word baptism, they think it's water every time. And so you're going to walk out of here. You know what you're going to think? Well, you know, it's okay with me. I think under certain circumstances, okay. Are you the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
Well, you might want to be careful what you put in there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Whatever you do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. Can you ask God to bless it? Well, why not? Bless the six-pack, Lord. You say, well, it takes me a six-pack to get drunk. It means you're one-sixth drunk when you take one. That means you're impaired after two beers. You mean you're not your own? You mean you're not impaired anymore? Well, I'm just getting happy. You're opening yourself up to possession. You lost your conscious state. Preacher, what's wrong with coming home and having a couple of pops, you know, all that kind of stuff? Kick your feet up, ask God to bless it, and have at it. And then don't be surprised if your kids don't wind up being drunks and dope addicts and everything else because they've been watching you. And the old preacher used to tell a story about a guy who came to him and he said to him, preacher, can you talk to my kid? I need you to talk to my kid real bad. I'm really, really concerned about my kid. What's the problem? He said, well, he's drinking. He gets drunk all the time. And he said, well, you're the daddy. You talk to him. And he said, I can't. I'm the one that gave him his first drink. What you going to do with that? I'll tell you what you do with it. You do with what a lot of Christians do about it. Oh, well, you know, it's just the way things go, the way the snow blows. Are you worried about your testimony at all?
Amen.
Well, then why would you make your younger brother stumble because you got liberty? Amen. By the way, let me give you a verse on liberty. You've been granted liberty, right? Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Your liberty is never to give you the opportunity to go drink something. You go to the store and tell the lady when you're buying the liquor, how do you justify that? This is for my stomach? No doctor would recommend you an alcoholic beverage for your stomach. You say, well, what's strong drink? I'm going to get to it in just a minute, but it was never drinking straight up like that. It was used for medicinal purposes. It was always watered down, usually on a 3-to-1 basis. Oh, you're just justifying it. No, in Deuteronomy, when he says that it's used as a commodity, you say, why? You're not living a day of time of drugs. You're not even thinking. You're living in a day and time when people were sick and when people were wounded in battle and when people broke arms and legs and they had no anesthetic whatsoever. There was a medicinal purpose for it. But what people want to do is use that. By the way, it ain't in a Pauline epistle. If people want to go grab that verse here and grab that verse about Jesus, you know, drank wine and Jesus made wine and have some wine for your stomach to justify doing it. Every one of them that's ever done that, every Christian that's ever drank knows those verses. Very few know the one in Deuteronomy that I'm talking about. Well, then how come, you know, Moses would tell them it's okay to get that thing? Because it was a commodity, man. If somebody was dying in your family, you knew they were about to kick off and that kind of a thing, and you could ease their pain, wouldn't you ease their pain? Tell them to suck it up, too bad? You know what I do? I've watched them die, man. You say, what do they say? Load them up with morphine. In the old days, they didn't have morphine. They didn't have stuff. You know, in the Bible where he says over there, I've been looking at this for a while, if you can't tell. I'll get to it in a second. Just let me get some of this stuff out of my mind and get everything in formation here. That passage over there in the book of Mark where the Bible says they came to the Lord and they offered him a wine mingled with myrrh. You know what that is? Myrrh's like an opiate. And when he had tasted thereof, he said, I don't want you anesthetizing me. That was a common practice. They used strong wine. They used strong drink for what was the purpose for? To anesthetize pain. And the Lord tasted it. He said, not for me. There's vinegars in the Bible. There's certain vinegars that are good for you. Not vinegar made from alcohol. No vinegar made from alcohol is bad. Some of you are already upset. Came to church tonight. I'd have never thought in my life that I'd preach about drinking in a Baptist church and Baptists would get upset about it. What you guilty about? You say, well, you know, it's okay. You know, well, everybody's got a little NyQuil and stuff like that. That ain't the same thing. Unless you're straining it through, you know, a napkin or straining your sterno and burning it off so you can have the alcohol. Ethanol alcohol is poisonous to you. It eats. You think God's going to recommend that to you? Alcohol is poisonous. It is a toxin to your system. It rots brain cells. And the Lord's going to say, oh, go ahead and have a little. It's okay. Get you a little pop every now and then. It's good for you. Kills your brain cells. Messes up your inside. Destroy your family. Destroy your kids. Cause you to wind up in trouble with the police and all that stuff. But a little bit's okay. A little bit won't hurt you. How come you think they don't let kids in a liquor store? Can I tell you why? Because they know it ain't for kids. Well, if there's nothing wrong with it, what's the problem? Nowadays, you know what it is? Everywhere you go, it's liquor, 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 liquor. You go to a funeral, and after the funeral's over, they all meet somewhere, and it's a BYOB party. I want to go through and see what the Bible has to say. Let's start off with what's called the law of first mention. How many of you know what the law of first mention is? Good for you, man. Good for you. All right, I want to show you a couple of things here where the thing shows up the first time here. Look in Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9. Now, that's the first time that liquor shows up in your Bible, or not liquor, but wine shows up in your Bible. It's after the fall, and it's after the flood takes place. Genesis chapter number 9, law of first mention. For those of you that don't know what the law of first mention is, it means that if it's mentioned the first time in the Bible, like sinners were, people were exceedingly sinners before God in Sodom. So the first time that thing shows up, sinners, is equated with sodomy. Surely I don't need to preach on that. If I do, we in some serious trouble. I mean, even their kids are like, no, we're good with that. We know what that is. Law first mentioned in your Bible is if it's mentioned the first time in the Bible, it will generally hold true all the way out throughout the Bible. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 5, death takes place. That's Adam. So usually when you see fives in the Bible, they're connected with death. Jesus, five letters, five wounds in his body. Acts chapter 5, verse number 5, Ananias dies. Acts chapter 5, verse number 10, Sapphira dies and Ananias dies in verse number 10. It's a multiple of five. Five in your Bible generally is like that. Satan, death. It's not grace in your Bible. It's death. All right, Genesis chapter number 9, look if you will please in verse number 20. 9:20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, tender of the vineyard there. I think Woodard preached on the vineyards or something the other day, didn't you? Mentioned vineyards? Somebody did. Husbandman, right? Okay, messing around with cows and stuff. He planted a vineyard. He drank wine and was drunken. You could drink wine before the flood took place. The atmosphere was different and things didn't ferment. But something done happened. He drank wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his son had done unto him, and knew what his son had done unto him. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but there's a reason them boys are going in backwards, and there's also a reason where Noah awoken. If all Ham did was look at him, as all the weak-kneed commentators try to tell you, if all then Noah would have woke up. He didn't know anybody looked at him. He knew somebody did something. You say, why? Something took place. You say, as what? As a result of drunkenness. Drunkenness always leads to debauchery. How many drinks? It always starts with one. Right. Always starts with one. So, well, I'm just going to have one. Every drunk just started out with one. Right. You can start off the first time, say, I'm going to go get me a bottle. I'm going to get plastered, snockered, and I'm going to get hooched up. You never did that. You went out just socially to begin with. Went out with a dance club, you know. Have your little, you know, little mixed drink, little 7-7 and little slow gin thing or another, or screwdriver thing or whatever to look socially acceptable. And then usually what goes with that is you get a glass in one hand and a cigarette in the other hand. You say, what happens? It doesn't make you better. It just makes you feel less bad about doing bad. Drink, number one, you lose your inhibitions. You start to relax your convictions. Take a drink. Relax, relax, relax. I don't want to relax. Say, why? I'll get in trouble. Quick lesson for you girls. The first thing a guy wants to do to you is go by the grocery store and grab a bottle of wine. Say, let me out right now. I'm calling daddy right now. I'm calling daddy. I'm calling Dick. I'm calling the preacher. Let me out. What do you mean go by and get? Oh, we're just going to have it with dinner. You can't eat enough food to overcome that. Well, if you get enough food, you know what? It just makes the food taste better. Really? You lost your mind? Have you ever looked at beer? How could you even in your right mind think that that would taste good when it looks like something that goes in a toilet? You ever watch horses or cows out in a field? Well, there's plenty of foam. You trust somebody to give you that in a can and say, it's a good for you? It looks like something else. If it looks like it, acts like it. Wow, it even smells like it. But you know, I guess anything, you make it cold enough, I guess it's okay. You know what a fellow told me one time? He said, the only time beer is good is when it's cold. And I stopped him and I said, that's interesting you would say that. I said, why wouldn't you drink it warm? And he said, well, it reminds me of... And he said, oh my goodness. Why didn't it come out a different color? That's what they try to do now, is change the color on it. All right, so what happens here? Noah got drunk, and guess what happened? Immorality shows up. Let me show you another one real quick here. Look in Genesis chapter number 19. I'm going to give you a few here, and then we're going to look into different kinds of drink. Now, it's going to take a little time to get through this stuff. You can mark them in your Bible if you want to, and that kind of thing. But all throughout your Bible, liquor is connected with people getting into a mess. Is it going to further the cause of Christ? Yeah, probably not. Is it going to help you with your testimony? Probably not. You know what? That's a strange thing. You're going to have somebody around kids. How come you want to know whether or not they're drinking? You want your babysitter drinking? Oh, why not? What's the problem? They don't mean nothing by it. What's the problem? If it's okay, what's the problem? Oh, well, you know, it's what's the problem? Well, preacher, we all know what drinking will do. Well, then why do you do it? I mean, I'm sure you probably don't, you know, except on special occasions. Genesis chapter number 19, verse number, let's see, we'll pick it up in 30. 19:30. Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains with his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. The firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. There is not a man in the earth, their line, to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we shall lie with him, and that we may preserve the seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and perceived not that she lay down, nor when she arose. Is this not sickening to you? You say, what's the result of it? You think Lot would have done that with his daughters if he wasn't drunk? You going to tell me liquor is good for you? Under any circumstances? Well, I can stop. Okay. What about the other ones that can't? Well, that's their problem. What's a Christian attitude? Amen. Well, preacher, you know, at the Lord's Supper, I'll show you. We get to it. You have grape juice. You say, why? It's a type picture of the pure blood of Jesus Christ. It's not fermented.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 32. Their rock is not as our rock, and their wine is not as our wine. Their wine is the poison of ass. It's different. It's fermented. Well, preacher, you know, in John 2, the Lord turned the water into wine over there. Yeah, and He said, you gave us the best for last. Why? There's no rottenness in it. There's no fermentation. It's absolutely pure. It's perfect. It's as good as it gets. And they made their father drink wine that night, verse number 33. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not she lay down, nor when she arose, and he came and passed the morrow. I mean, he's snockered, boy. That the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. I mean, he's out. Thus were the daughters of Lot by child by their father. What a great testimony. You say, what happened? It started by them just having a couple of pops, you know, here, Dad, drink something. Oh, don't you feel better? Don't you feel good? And then he gets passed out. What does it lead to? Sexual immorality. Come to the book of Leviticus. Can I ask you a question? What do they do at nightclubs? What do they serve? Why do they do that? What's the purpose of going to the nightclub? We're just going to have a good time. Come on, guys. Is that why you went to the nightclub? You went there hoping to find some girl who had a little too much to drink, so... I'm not being too straight with you, Emma. And you're going to tell me that Jesus would tell you that a little bit's okay? You're going to make Jesus a sinner, are you?
No, sir.
You're going to tell me that a Bible that recommends to have separation, you're going to tell me that a Bible that tells you that the very appearance of evil is wrong, you're going to tell me that a Bible that recommends that then tells you, on the other hand, a little bit's okay, as long as it's in moderation?
No, sir.
Can I ask you? Thank you. I ask you a question. If my wife walked in and caught me in a bar, what would you think she'd think? Don't you reckon?
Yes, sir.
Her heart would be broken, then she'd be thinking, "What in the cat here are you doing in here?"
Right, man.
If you walked in a bar and you saw me sitting in there with a glass of orange juice in my hand, and I said it's just orange juice, would you believe me?
No.
First place, you know what you'd think? What are you doing in here in the first place?
Right,
they got orange juice at 7-Eleven.
Right.
You didn't come in here because you're dying of thirst, man. They got a water fountain on every corner.
Right.
What are you doing in here? Atmosphere, man. Atmosphere.
Sure.
Look in the book of Leviticus. I'll give you the Old Testament. I'm going to give you New Testament, but it's going to take a long time to get through them. I'm going to cut it off and start it and stop it and start it and stop it until we get through it. Leviticus chapter number 10. That way when somebody asks you about it, you'll say, I know what the Bible says.
Amen.
Verse number 9, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Boy, the Catholics have a hard time with that. How could you have the Lord's Supper and have hooch here? He says, don't do it, right? Well, preacher, that's Old Testament. Okay, well, we're not there yet. Mark it, build a fence around it. Lest ye die, it shall be a statute. How long?
Forever.
Well, my goodness. You mean it's still in existence? Throughout your generation. Why? And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. One reason not to drink is that it sets you apart from clean and unclean. He's trying to get a statement across to you that you're not supposed to be coming in here and acting like the rest of the world and looking like the world and treat. If somebody comes in here and they've never known anything at all, and I tell them before the Lord's Supper, I say, now what's in these little glasses here is grape juice. It's the pure blood of the grape. And, you know, we used to, years ago, squeeze our own, but we got so big we can't do that anymore. We used to squeeze our own back in the day and make our own bread and stuff. But I tell them that, and I say, now this is not fermented and stuff like that, because it represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only pure blood around, and we're saved by the blood, and we're washed by the blood, and we're redeemed by the blood, and we're kept by the blood, and we're cleaned by the blood, and so on and so forth. Don't you think they'd be thinking, well, man, I never heard that before.
That's right.
You think when the Lord's sitting there saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, this do in remembrance of me, down the hatch, boys, don't get too loaded.
No.
You think even a sip would be okay? You think a sip of alcoholic beverage would cross his mouth, his lips? Well, you got a funny Jesus.
Right, that's right.
My Bible says that he was without sin.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to show you so many verses, you can fill up 10 quivers full of arrows with verses in the Bible where he tells you specifically wine and strong drink is forbidden, and it's especially forbidden for kings and priests. Well, what are you? You're called kings and priests. What business has any Christian got in doing it?
Amen.
Say, well, the world, This ain't for the world, man.
Amen.
Don't you know?
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're not saved, don't worry about it. Down the hatch, help yourself. You wind up in jail hollering, "What in the world happened to me?" Look in Numbers chapter number 6. This is just a warm up. Numbers chapter number 6. Well, I know people that get happy when they get drunk. Oh, that justifies all the other ones that don't. I know a lot that get happy and then they get real sad real quick. I've known a lot of happy drunks. We peeled off from telephone poles and out of retention ponds and destroyed homes and tore up families and messed around and done stuff they shouldn't have done. For every one you can give me, I can give you 100 that has messed up.
Amen.
The very idea that it should even be have to even be discussed in church walls. But we live in a different time. It's just accepted. You can't watch everybody comes home, pops a top, and pours a drink for them. They got to come in and have a drink every night. Got to have a drink. Got to have a drink. Got to have a drink. Now, if they were coming home and, you know, you'd be like, "Man, that's a heroin addict, man. That's terrible." The same thing. You come home, you're addicted to that stuff. You got to have that to unwind every day. They make it so good. Come by for happy hour. You drive home impaired. And that's Christian? You come in here sometimes on Sunday morning and you've been out where you shouldn't be on Saturday night and the preacher gets round up a little bit and stuff like that and you're like, "God, why has he got to be so loud? Why you got a headache?" Stayed a little long at the wine last night, did you? The preacher, "We just have some beers and some hot dogs, you know, at the ball game and stuff like that." Yeah, I know a lot of Christians down there. I used to work them. I saw the same people that I saw at the big church when I was down there. I saw them down there and then they, you know, "Hey man, how you doing? It's good to see you, you know, just a little ball game, you know." Well, there's nothing wrong with it. What's the problem? I just look at them. I can still look a little bit. I can just look at them. I'd have them dark glasses on. I'd just look at them like, "You stinking hypocrite, you. You in there teaching classes and teaching Sunday school classes and teaching kids and stuff like that. And you're over here at the ball game with these people around you and sucking on suds. I ought to slap that cotton picking beer can out of your mouth." I used to have to work them places down there. I don't even know if they got them anymore. Them places down on the river and stuff like that. I had to go down and work them places and work those special events. And I'd be down there and I'd see somebody out there and you're doing all this kind of stuff and all that. And I'd intentionally walk out on the dance floor and say, "Hey, brother, how are you? What are you doing here? I'm working. What are you doing here?" So you shouldn't be, if there's nothing wrong with it. See him sitting there Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon at the ball game sucking suds. Well, I don't think it's right. You say, "Well, I don't think there's a problem with it." Help yourself.
Right.
We'll see. What a great testimony for the kids. What a great testimony. Aren't you something? Say, "Well, I don't see a problem with it." Where's your discipline?
Amen.
"All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. I'll not be brought under the power of any."
Amen.
"I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Where's your discipline? What's the matter? Are you afraid of getting called out? I used to, the Georgia, Florida cotton picking mess, man. They call it the biggest cocktail party in the world, you know, and that kind of a deal. I'd go out there, man, and see the same people that I saw in churches, man. Big churches. Highfalutin people. Got Sunday school classes singing in the choir up there with the robe on and everything on television. Out there in the back with them cotton picking motorhomes. Out there 2 and 3 days and sometimes a week before the game ever got there, lined up for the cotton picking tailgate. If this is rubbing you the wrong way, you need to turn the cat around. There ain't no problem with how I'm petting the cat. Problem is you're fur's turned the wrong way. I ain't changing the way I'm stroking. I'm keeping stroking just like this. You gotta turn the cat around. That's a good name right there. That's pretty good, Lord. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Oh, let's see, verse number 3. Now this has to do with a Nazarite. And Jesus was from Nazarene. He was a Nazarene, but he wasn't a Nazarite. So people, you don't have to worry about it. He separated himself unto the Lord. That has to do with Samson. Samson wasn't supposed to do that stuff. The Bible says, and he shall separate himself from what?
Wine
and strong drink, and he shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried grapes. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels and even the husk. I'm going to get into the vine tree later on, not right now. Deuteronomy chapter number 21. This started getting a little more practical for you. Deuteronomy 21. Now that's an individual that wants to be separated. And that's nothing wrong with that at all. What's wrong? You need to taste it and all that kind of stuff. Why? You need to try heroin to know it's wrong? You need to try cocaine, you know? Lay it out and get your line, get your credit card, you know? Roll your bill. See how you know that stuff? I used to go to all the shooting galleries and the projects and watch those fiends give up anything and everything for that stuff and do anything. Unspeakable filth. And sit there and watch them with needles hanging out on them while they have the nods and stuff. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. So how do you know to do all that? I've watched them do it time and time and time and time again. And you know, you look at that and you say, well, that's terrible. Yeah, I watch Christian pop that top and think nothing of it. And they got to have it. The only thing is you don't take it up the nose. Just down the hatch until you tear your home all to pieces.
Amen.
Tear your relationship. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit don't say to you, hey, come on now. How can you even think you're in your right mind? I got all the scientific studies. I'll give you that during this. This thing might last a year by the time I'm done with this. I'll give you all the scientific studies on it, but you've got to have it. What's the problem? What are you so nervous about? You're doing something wrong? You're trying to soothe your conscience? You feel bad about it? How come you got to have a pop right off the bat? Got to get a shot right off the bat. A shot? What's the problem? You're trying to anesthetize something? Make yourself not feel bad about it? Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 20. Ooh, boy, I've seen this one through. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son, stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Well, tell me that ain't true. You policemen in here, how many times you've been to a house where mom and daddy couldn't control the kid because he was a dope addict or a drunk? You can't talk to a drunk. You can't reason with them. They ain't got any sense. Deuteronomy chapter 29. If you were a drunk, thank God you're not anymore. I'm not being hard on you. I'm being hard on you if you're still drinking. I'm not even talking about whether you get drunk. The Bible says just don't get drunk, but a little moderation is okay. We're not done yet. It never says for you to have moderation in alcoholic beverages of any kind. Never. I will not go one time to the Hebrew or the Greek or the Chaldean or any other language to prove my point. We'll use English. Okay?
Amen.
Well, the better, greater study of the word oinos there is used there, and oinos can be used in the New Testament, the Greek word. If you break down that meaning, you can find out it can refer to both the fermented and the unfermented. And so we know that from the study of that word, you don't know nothing in the study of that word. You know what? You know this. Look at the context. And you'll find out when he says wine in one place, he means grape juice. And the context in another place, it ain't good for you. But you've got to look at how it's used. He puts it in there for a reason. You know why? So you'll break your cotton-picking neck on it if you've got a wicked heart. And some of you do. I can tell by if your looks betray you. And you're trying so hard to look out of the periphery and see if there's anybody in here that agrees with you. You know, I know I'm not the only one in here that's doing that. Christian drinkers of America, unite! Chicken you. You're not about to. You spend your good hard-earned dollars on something you throw away like that kind of stuff. You lost your mind, boy. Well, it's good for your digestion. Well, we'll get to that in a little while, too. Have you Deuteronomy 29 yet? No, I haven't given you 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse number 5. The Bible says this: "And they have led you 40 years into the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen upon you, and your shoe is not waxen old upon my foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine nor strong drink, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." You mean when I get in trouble, I ask the Lord to take care of me instead of looking at a bottle and saying, "Deliver me from my trouble."
Yeah,
right. Do you ever read that passage over there when Moses comes down off the mountain there in Exodus? And he comes down off the mountaintop there, and guess what's going on? Why, they're having a party. And Joshua says, "There's a noise of war in the camp." And Moses said, "That ain't the noise of war." He said, "That's a dance club, man." He said, "That's the dance band, and they're drunken and naked." And nakedness, drunkenness, and music, rock and roll go together.
Amen.
A preacher, in the Bible, doesn't he say, "Are not these drunk on new wine?" So new wine is an intoxicating beverage. Okay, English 101. They are mocking them because they were known to be teetotalers. And they said, "Well, we know they wouldn't drink the good stuff, the hard stuff, the liquor stuff. So they're drunk on grape juice." It just took unfermented grape juice to make them high. Look at the context. Well, doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was considered to be a wine bibber and a drunk? Yeah, he was also called the devil. And that wasn't true.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You say, what are they doing? You're assuming they're telling the truth because you want to justify, "Oh, well, see, he's hanging out with him, so he must be doing it." You got a sinful Jesus, boy.
Right.
You got a sinful Jesus. And if your Jesus is sinful, he can't save a dead horse.
That's right.
Tempted in all points, yet without sin.
Amen.
Well, but preacher, you know now, if we study the impeccability of Jesus as to whether or not he could sin or he could not sin. Hey, stupid, he didn't sin.
Amen.
How could he be tempted if he couldn't? But the answer to your impeccability is he didn't.
Amen.
Well, you know, as God, I guess he couldn't, but as a man, he get. You know what all that is? That's justification out of a wicked heart. All that is. That's you trying to justify your wickedness. You know I'm telling the truth. You don't have to go back to the days of Billy Sunday when Billy Sunday was ranting and raving all across this country and preaching against liquor and telling you have to watch liquor, that debauchery. It'll come in like a big bird and it'll take the carpets up off the floor and it'll take the clothes off your back. It'll destroy the bed in which you lay and it'll eat up the children which you try to raise. Yes, sir, man. He knew what he was talking about. Chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32. Let's see. This is 30. "The one should chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, 32:30, except their rock," capital R, "had sold them, and the Lord hath shut them up. For their rock," little r, that's Peter, Catholic, "is not as our rock," capital R, Jesus, "even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall and clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp." Get you every time. You say, why? You can't mess around with it. If nothing else, ruin your testimony.
Amen.
Imagine you see tomorrow morning, pick up the newspaper, pastor of Bible Believers Baptist Church arrested for DUI. "Oh, I was just drinking. Big deal. Just no big deal. Just drinking." Is that the guy you want to listen to on Sunday? Pastor, seeing as he exited the such and such a bar and the building caught on fire and picture taken. What's the preacher doing there? Is that the guy you want to listen to on Sunday? Well, the preacher, you know, 90% of what you do is good. Y'all are awfully quiet. You see how worldly you get? You just get where you look at that stuff and kind of... I believe it's poison, but... I asked a fellow one time before, I said, is there anything wrong with drinking? He said, no, ain't nothing wrong with it. Come to Judges chapter 13. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I said, really? Nothing wrong? He said, no. I said, why don't you give it to your kids? He said, what? And I said, why don't you give it to your kids? He said, it's an adult drink.
There it is.
I said, you mean you wouldn't serve it to your kids? He goes, no, I don't let my kids drink it. I said, you drink it in front of them? He goes, well, yeah, me and my wife, we have wine with dinner. Oh, you do you? And your kids don't ever say, can I have a sip? And you tell them no. Well, I do the same thing with coffee, he said. Oh, I said, I get it. It's the same as coffee. I get it. I understand. You can justify all kinds of things. Judges chapter 13, look in verse number 4. This has to do with your boy, Samson. Now, he made an agreement here. Verse 4. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. Jump down to about 7. He said, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite of God, in whom the womb of the day of his death. Question, how come, who's been pregnant here lately? Not going to embarrass you. Somebody here recently? Somebody pregnant in the last 5 years. How's that? Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jennifer. Did your doctor tell you it was okay for you to drink? How come they tell you don't drink when you're pregnant? What? No. Just to relax. Have you ever done any studying at all on what alcoholic poisoning does to the embryo and then to the fetus and then to the baby? Have you ever studied that? Do you even have any concept? You nurses should know. Hey, it's a whole lot more. They just don't put it in the news than crack babies and heroin babies being born. There's a lot of babies that are already poisoned to alcohol. You say, why? Mama's blood running through them and they're going to get it through the umbilical cord. That's why they tell you when that baby's in there, if you eat certain things, you get indigestion. You say, why? Baby don't like what you ate. Same thing happens after you're breastfeeding. Say, why? The baby don't like what you ate. It's coming back through you.
Right.
How come you're so careful when it comes to that baby before it's born and right after it's born and then after that you don't give a flip?
Right.
You just drink in front of them all the time and say, well, when they grow up, I'll let them decide. I don't get that. I think it's child abuse, but that's just my opinion.
Amen.
A lot of other ways to abuse a child than just blistering his behind. Verse 14, she may not eat anything, he's talking to Manoah here, that cometh to the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. All this I commanded her to let her observe. In other words, he says, I told her, but I'm telling you what I told her. Look in 1 Samuel, this is a good one. This is the lady that came to church and got offended. The preacher accused her of something that wasn't true. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Verse number 14. She's over there continuing to pray. You see that? She's vowing a vow to the Lord in verse number 11. She's continuing to pray in verse number 13. Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. In other words, she's over there talking to herself. Her mouth's just moving like she's praying and her mouth's moving. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. It's an indication they thought somebody was drunk because they're talking to themselves. Ever seen that? I've seen them. I've seen them talk to the purple goose and the gray gander. Purple Goose and the Grey Gander crawled up on the line and cut the wires because there was a fire down in the basement, and the Southern Bell come and fix the line down in the basement. So the fire department crawled up to fix the line. But that only happened on the third Tuesday of next week on the north side of the building if it's raining on that particular day. And then that don't make any sense at all. But you're drunk, they're like, yeah, like that. They don't even know what you're saying. First of all, there ain't no Purple Goose or Grey Gander, and the fire department doesn't pick the phone line, and the phone people don't put out the fire.
Right.
And there is no third Tuesday of next week, or any week for that matter. And that goes for any time, whether it's raining, whether it's on the north side of the building or not. Y'all are trying to figure it out. I got that one figured out. Let me give you one more here, and then I want to back up. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. This is Nabal. Nabal was called a churlish man. He was a drunken man. He was a very mean-spirited man. And he wound up getting himself in some trouble. 1 Samuel chapter number 25. And look, if you will, in verse number 32. Yeah, that's it. 25:32, David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed the blood and avenging myself of with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning like any that pisseth against the wall, males. So David received out of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he had a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And within Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until morning." You say, why? You can't reason with a drunk. Because you don't want to mess up his buzz, somebody said. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at the Lord's Supper there with a buzz on, talking about, "This is my body, which is broken for you, and this is the cup of my blood, which is shed for you"? Can you imagine that? Got a pretty dirty Jesus. But it came to pass in the morning that when the wine was gone out of Nabal, his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He ain't dead yet. And it came to pass 10 days later, the Lord smote Nabal and he died. So what happened? I don't know. Alcoholic coma or something. I don't know. You say, well, you're just reading into it. All I know is the Bible goes specifically into telling you that he drank alcohol till he got drunk. All right, back up to Leviticus. Let me give you a couple of these real quick here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we'll start running through and finding out whether or not we can find a place in the Bible that says it's okay for us to drink wine and strong drink. Or mixed drinks. That's in there too. Mixing drinks. That's like cutting it with Coca-Cola or something. Kind of clean it up. Mix it. So it doesn't taste like what it really is. Mix it so you enjoy it more. It's funny how some people that I've personally known, they started off mixing them like that. And then it got to the point where the mixture got less and less. And then it got to be straight up. And then the next thing, it's straight out of the bottle. Don't even bother with a glass. Used to be sophisticated. Put a little ice in it, you know, and pour it and have a little, you know, drink and just sip it a little along the way. And the next thing you know, then it got without the glass. And then before long, forget the glass, give me the bottle. Leviticus chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. And verse number 9. I gave you this, I think, earlier. "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou and thy sons with thee, when thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for it shall be a statute forever through your generations." All right, here's the verses I wanted to give you. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll give you this and we'll go to the barn for tonight. Now, I'll tell you now, so if you don't want to come, you cannot come. I'm gonna be on this thing. I'm not going to use it for the Sunday morning service, but I'm going to use it for Sunday school. I'm going to use it for Sunday night and next Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and next Sunday night and next Wednesday night until we get through the whole thing.
Amen.
I'm going to preach on drinking.
Amen.
What the Bible says about drinking. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 19. The Bible says this, talking about kings and priests. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil of flesh, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, can I ask you a question? If you're going to enter into the Holy of Holies, as you read there, leave your finger there for just a minute. Can you imagine coming to the Lord drunk? I'm in there by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're down there. You say, well, you know, He'll hear a drunk. He'll hear you. I understand that. But continually coming in there drunk, you don't even know what you're saying. A little further in the passage. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful as promised. And let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting one another as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let me ask you a question. Should you be walking into the body of Christ or walking into come to 1 Peter 2? 1 Peter 2, should you be walking into church house drunk? No, but should you be going into His house drunk? I'm sure a lot of you holler it out. I'm sure I've seen it in the past. You get yourself in a real mess and then you start hollering for God to help you. Right? You're better to go in sober. Verse 9. 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of Him that who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Question. He says you're a king. He says you're a priest. The other passage in Revelation I'll give you next time we're together says you're a king. Let me ask you a question. If we're supposed to, in this passage right here, show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into marvelous light, do you do that better drinking or not drinking? What's a better testimony for Jesus Christ, drinking or not drinking? Why do we drink? Love overcomes liberty every time. Love says, I'll not do it if it causes my brother or sister to stumble. Liberty says, I'll do whatever I Johnny well please and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm eternally secure. I don't ever have to worry about losing my salvation. Don't tell me how to live. Love says, I'll live for your benefit. I esteem you better than me and I consider you weaker than me, and so I'm going to do what I can, so I'll put it away. I'm not going to enjoy it, so you get the benefit. But I don't want to see you stumble.
Amen.
All right, we'll stop there for tonight, and we'll pick it up on Sunday. It should be exciting. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. All right. I sure am glad y'all are here. Brother Justin, appreciate you being here with Miss Barb. And how about you asking the Lord to dismiss us, would you please?
Y'all for coming tonight.